The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
But first off, the ESRI has just released research, you heard it on the news there, that suggests non-farmers believe that farmers care less about climate change than in reality, but that actually the same holds in the other direction and the farmers care just as much about the climate as non-farmers. Joining us to discuss this is Pat O'Hearn, a homeopathic dairy farmer from Cork. Pat, you're very welcome to the show.
Hello, Shane. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks a lot for talking to us today. I'm guessing you're not particularly surprised by this research that finds farmers are just as concerned about the environment as non-farmers.
Well, without a doubt, farmers are very concerned. And it's because at the end of the day, I suppose, basically, you could say it's their livelihood. But also it is for the greater good of soil health and the next generation that hopefully would be farming. And hopefully it would be follow on the next generation of the family. But like there is a lot of information out there and a lot of courses that are sorted out consistently year on year, the likes of National Organic Training Skill Nets, they have several courses sold out. They have a biofarm conference, a two-day conference in November, sold out. That's all to do with biology and soil. There's a farmer in Limerick that runs a sellout every year teaches farmers to grow microbes and to put it back into your soil. And then you have the likes of homeopathy, which is up and coming in relation to soil. There's a lot of scientific research been done over the years where homeopathy can actually play a major part in plant health and soil health. The likes of Brazil, the Brazilian government is actually currently educating 150,000 farmers to use homeopathy. And there's courses available coming as well in relation to that here in Ireland and the UK, through Camilla Scher's School of Homeopathy and Whole Health Agriculture in the UK. We'll be launching in September. So like, there's no shortage of education and willingness to learn about this and farmers to change their ways, because they just know that the system is creaking, basically.
Okay. I suppose the counter-argument that I have to put to you is, like, we can all care about the environment, but it doesn't mean we do much about it. And I do have to put it to you, like, agriculture accounts for, is it 38% of Ireland's greenhouse gas emissions? It's the biggest single source of nutrient pollution in Irish waters through excess nitrogens and phosphorus runoff. Like, the bottom line, and the stats show it, is that agriculture is bad for the environment, is bad for our environment.
You'll always hear counter arguments to that, and you'll be kind of wondering where do they get that evidence from. The likes of myself and the majority of farmers, and also the EU regulation, is that the likes of phosphorus, chemical phosphorus, has been dramatically reduced. But the reason why we have these problems...
I have to put it, well, certainly nutrient pollution has not been dramatically reduced. It did fall for a period, but with the intensification of agriculture, nutrient levels have gone up. And we have, I'm playing devil's advocate here to you, but I mean, we still have a derogation 20 years later on the nitrates derogation, and woe betide any government, any Irish government, that doesn't try and get that extended.
I suppose, look, at the end of the day, we'd say with the last 30, 40, 50 years, we have been literally farming, and they're advised to farm through, we'll say, your fertilisers and your slurry spreading and your application of chemicals and all of that. And we've been only farming literally the first 2, maybe 3 inches of topsoil at most. We have not been going down, the roots have not been going down to tap into the huge reserves of P and K in the soil. And literally the plants we're growing are dependent on the likes of chemical inputs and everything else. As for the nutrients, that's highly debatable, because it's an argument we farmers have been having from the very beginning, which is the closed window period is that we can't put out the slurry during a dry period, during the close. And then when we're allowed to put it out in the mid-January, it's pouring out of the heavens, the tanks are overflowing. But on paper, it's legal to put it out. tense, then we're getting a wrong reading in one sort of a way. Now, if we actually got the biology working in the soil, we would create bigger and better absorption of that, and the ground would hold it, the roots would hold it more. But unfortunately, because of the excessive rainfall that we've been getting in recent years, is that literally it's washing off. Because it doesn't get down, because the soil has been compacted over years of not just machinery, and the machinery is getting bigger, but even the rainfall that is coming out of the sky, that hits the ground at 40, 50 miles an hour. That's constantly pounding and compacting the soil, and that then is leading to your runoff. Mm. If we can get the soil to be more active, get the microbes working again, and get, as I said, get more topsoil. I'm currently in, just started in an EIP department of an ag-backed project called Regenerative Agriculture. And literally, I was coming from very positive results in America, and we said we're going to replicate this. There's 20 farmers spread across Ireland of different disciplines, and we can do this. And show that you literally get the same results that they got in America at the end of 5 years, which is more absorption, better subsoil, and way more absorption of water, literally from an inch of rainfall to holding 3 inches of rainfall, which is the equivalent of 75,000 gallons of water per acre. Now, that would be a major saving, and that's where it would be held in the ground.
Okay. Is it your contention that farmers care just as much about the environment as people who live in cities, for example? That is your contention, yeah?
I would be 100% saying that there is an ever-growing number of farmers that are concerned about the soil and wanting to change. Like sales reps are telling me that there is, year on year, there is less and less chemical fertilizers, there's less sprays. As for the slurry application, that needs to be, we always are saying it needs to, the window needs to be opened again in relation to, you cannot calendar farm.
And can I ask you a straight question, Pat? If the derogation on the nitrates directive was removed in the morning, would you support that?
Yes, I would. I actually would, because I think but if that was to be removed,
and I believe you, and I believe you, but I don't.
The closed window would have to be removed as well.
Okay,
we would have to farm by the weather, not by the calendar.
Okay, but would you accept that most farmers would not back the removal of that derogation?
Would most of them?
I think the argument to that can only be that they wouldn't, because the IFA strongly lobbied for this derogation to be continued for yet another 3-year period. This is 20 years after it was first introduced.
Yes, but there was no benefit. There was no, shall we say, re-educationing of the farmer. There was no showing them. I'm not saying farmers are very, very innocent people and very intelligent
business
people.
Of course, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But at the end of the day, we were knowledge poor, information poor, and it's only really, I would say, post 2018 that the major drought that we had in 2018, that farmers dramatically woke up and said, we cannot continue the way that literally we've been told to farm with the last number of years, in the last, we'll say, generation. And so, like, trying to remove your derogation all of a sudden is not going to work. It needs to be phased out.
I have to put it to you, it's been there for 20 years. I mean, phasing it out.
Well, politics and bureaucracy never ran very smoothly. 20 years ago, we were supposed to have a National Children's Hospital. So, you know, the same thing goes hand in hand, basically. This is bureaucracy and it's politics. And
it's a little bit more than that now. It's farmers' organisations opposing the derogation and governments bowing down to that pressure.
Well, how would you say, farmers like 10 years ago were told to expand.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and then we were left hanging a couple of years. And then in 2020, these regulations started getting tighter and tighter and tighter. And we were going, well, could you please give us more information?
Let me read you just a couple of texts before I let you go, Pat. Mike says, like most people have a farming background and can see firsthand the challenges they have. However, as an educated man and a fly angler, I also have firsthand experience of the damage nitrates do to rivers and lakes. Also, muck spreading destroys rivers. Fact, says Mike.
Because, again, for the last 50-plus years, we have been only farming the top 2 inches of topsoil.
Okay.
We have not been... We have, and then, as I said, the weather has got more extreme, so we literally need to get create more topsoil by getting microbial activity working.
And okay, I know you've made that point. Another listener says, we're always concerned about climate change, but you see these townsfolks who haven't seen an animal before think that it's us driving climate change. We constantly try to make our systems more sustainable, as I find it easier and safer to make it that way. And I'm sure that's genuine. But again, I do have to point out 36 to 38% of our CO2 emissions come from agriculture. There's like, and I accept the point you're making that this is something that the government has encouraged, more intensive farming.
Shane, first of all, my father lived to 95 years of age. He started behind the horse and plough. He milked the cow on the three-legged stool up to a modern milking parlour at 90 years of age. And he said, I have seen such dramatic change, he said. But towards the end, 3 months before he died, he said to me, we need to take one step backwards so as to continue going forward. That's the first point. And the second point then is, I at one of the this biofarm conference a couple of years ago, there was a soil biologist stood up and he said that if the current commercial working land acreages around the world was to be hypothetically put into biological farming, we would take 150 years of carbon out of the atmosphere in less than 10 years. Now, that's hypothetically on paper, we'll say, because unfortunately humans don't actually all agree with each other. But shall I say that like as I said, is taking the atmosphere, and how is that going to be done? True, we literally changing, and farmers are actually the biggest cog in the wheel here to help with the climate change instead of solar panels and wind farms.
All right, Pat, thank you indeed for talking to us. Pat Ahern there, a homeopathic dairy farmer from Cork. Thank you indeed for talking to The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.